Welcome to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast with me, Sherry Honeycutt, Life Coach, where I have one mission with this podcast, and that is to help you get out of your velvet rut, to stop living by default and waiting to have the life you crave. This is a podcast where I help you take inspired action, step into the responsibility for your own happiness, and start every day figuring out what you can do to create the life you want, because it won't accidentally happen, my friends. So lean into today's content, make the intention to take away a nugget or two, and more importantly, decide that you're going to implement whatever you take away from here today, because it's on you, baby. It's on you to create that life that you want, and I know you can do it. So let's go. Hey there, have I got a treat for you? I'm super excited that the next few episodes of the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast are a series of conversations that I had with amazing people several years back. In fact, most of them were recorded in the throes of the pandemic. But don't worry, they are full of gems of wisdom that really are evergreen, and I can't wait for you to hear them. So join me on a trip down memory lane over the next few episodes of my podcast, where you will benefit from these never before heard, too good to miss recordings that I've had stashed away. And trust me, they're packed with juicy insights that I hope you will enjoy as much as we enjoyed recording them. And remember, it's never too late to start designing your life on purpose. Hey, this is Sherry Honeycutt, and I am getting ready to have the most wonderful conversation. I already know it. I can already feel it in my bones. I'm getting ready to have a phenomenal conversation with my good friend and someone I really want you to know, Leah Lovelight Michael. And Leah, first of all, welcome. How are you?
Thank you so much. Good. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
I know, Leah. I met Leah a couple of years ago. And you know when you meet somebody, you go, oh, she got some stuff, good stuff. At the time, she was writing her book. And I could just feel the energy when I met Leah that I wanted to know more. And that's the honest to goodness truth. With since then, we've been able to cross paths a lot. We're in a community together. And she's agreed to be on this podcast. So thank you, Leah. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And
so I want to
same way about your good juiciness.
Good juiciness. I love it. Juicy, good juicy sisters. I want to tell you just a little bit about Leah, and then don't worry, in the show notes, I'm going to give you lots of ways for you to connect with her, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it. But I want to set the stage. So Leah, I asked her before we hit the record button, what's the best way to describe you? And she said, well, here's the thing. When somebody asked me, what do I do? She said, really, the answer is who, you know, what am I? That you're not what you do. I loved that answer. But to get kind of go in our brain to let people know what it is that you do, you landed on the word somatic practitioner. And I can't wait to know more about that, about how that is about the body. But I do want to read this paragraph that she has that describes herself. And I want to read it because if you all are word people like I am, you'll just get how delicious this is. So here she is. This is what she says. I support change makers, soul seekers, intuitive, curious, and heart-centered people. I am a student of life, a connoisseur of people, and a leader in self-discovery. Don't you want to know more already? It's just so good. Through deep inner work, radical self-acceptance, which we're going to talk about, applied understanding of sociology, Reiki, cranial sacral therapy, and the support of teachers and guides along my way, I have found a path of self-liberation. Hopefully we're going to talk about that, Leah. Self-liberation. We will, right? Promise.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I believe that the change of the world starts within, and I am on a mission to support those that want to support others so that collectively we all rise together. See why I wanted to read that? That's some good shit, yes. Girl.
Thank you.
So I wanted to set the stage, Leah, and that description, you guys, is why Leah's on this podcast. You know, it's because I believe, and she's going to have a lot to share with us here, that she has been crafting and living her life on purpose. So let's just start there. Tell me, is that true? Am I right? Have you been living and crafting your life on purpose?
Yes. It's really interesting, Sherry, because like the journey of living on purpose didn't really come until I actually had a full crumble. You know, I always was living this life in a survival mechanism. You know, like I knew I wasn't where I wanted to be, and I was really pushing myself forward. And like most people, when we're on this push, we exhaust and eventually we break down. And that happened to me around 29. And I didn't know what to do with myself. And so I blew up my life and sold my home, divorced my husband, quit my job, and I purchased a one-way ticket to Nairobi.
Oh, wait, and, what? So when I was going, to stop you and say, how did you blow up your life? Well, you just described it.
Yeah.
A one-way ticket to Nairobi. Okay, keep going.
Yes. Yeah. And I had never been on a camping trip. And this was a 73-day camping trip. That's how my journey started. And so I would say that that's where the purpose started coming. You know, I always had thought that life happened on the outside, you know, because I see it externally, like I see what everybody else had. I was always on this journey of what others had. And when I started this walkabout and thinking that I was going to go out there and find myself, I actually discovered that myself is within me. And the purpose to live is to be connected to myself. And so when I think about living life on purpose, I really think about having that connection to life, connection to the soul. Mm. What is the life that is beyond just this physical body? And also being able to indulge and experience life with this body. And that didn't come until I went through a lot of healing. And so I definitely live life on purpose out in the mountains of Montana, in a really simplified life, because that's what matters most to me.
Wow.
So, yes, I do. I love that.
Thank oh my gosh, that is, yeah. So let's go back to the beginning. What you were realizing at, you said around 29, that I wasn't where I wanted to be. Right. That was the awareness, right? On some level. How did you come to realize that you weren't where you wanted to be? What were the signs that how did you know?
Yeah. So that's an interesting question, just to take myself back to that period of time. You know, I was married to a really great man. You know, we had a home. I was working in a really good company. Like all of the boxes were checked. Mm-hmm. And yet, like when I felt myself, I wasn't happy. Mm. You know, I was like, oh, I may be like 80% happy, but is that what life is supposed to be? Because, you know, that's better than where I came from. And so it was really this like awakening to the fact that I had created for everyone else what I thought was expected of me rather than where I really wanted to be. And I had no idea where I wanted to be, except I knew I didn't want to be where I was.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy.
Yeah. So I wonder, and you may not have the answer to this question, so don't feel bad if you don't, but do you know what got your attention? I mean, did you start getting, what got your attention? What made you realize that?
At that point in time, my older brother was visiting from, with his family, his girlfriend and my niece and nephew. And he had been a long time addict.
Okay.
And he stopped me. We had gone to a Seahawks Cincinnati football game. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, I had season tickets to Seahawks. and we had gone to this game, and he had stopped me during the after party. And he just like looked at me dead in the eyes. And he was like, I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want to do it. I just can't. I don't have the energy. Mm-hmm. And my whole life for so many reasons had been like lived to show him that there's more meaning to life. In a lot of ways, I took on the responsibility of his happiness. And when he said that to me, I really kind of had this like, what the F am I doing? It really did crumble all of my foundation. And that's when I started to look around and see, I'd created this life, but it wasn't really what mattered to me at that point. Cause I had no idea what mattered at that point.
Yeah. So, you know, what you thought you were building it on, your foundation, all of a sudden someone sort of pointed out to you, no, your job is not here to make me. And not accepting your role. And then you have to go, well, what is it now? Right. Yeah. And you had to start asking yourself that question. You know, that's where it begins, right? It's not in having the answer. We talk about this in our exchange group, don't we? It's never really about the answer. It's about how do you craft the right question, right? And so you said, I knew I wasn't where I wanted to be. Then, so what did you start asking yourself? What did you start?
Well, what do I started asking myself, like, what do you want?
You know?
And at that point it was adventure. I really just wanted freedom. Like, that's what I was seeking most, you know, in that sense, because at that point in time, I had always been so responsible from, like, my whole life I'd been responsible, for survival. And I really wanted freedom. Mm-hmm. And, like, what's more free than, you know, the romanticized walkabout journey?
The 73 days in the wilderness.
Pray, love, you know.
Seriously.
Did it before that book. Yeah.
Yeah, I have images of, you know, either Jesus out there for 40 days and, you know, eating on one little bun, or, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert finding the love of her life. I mean, you can find lots of things out in the wilderness. It's interesting. Did you think at the time that freedom was the opposite of responsibility? Did you feel like that?
I think so.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
I just wanted to let go of all of it.
Yeah, and you did, man. You totally did. Mm-hmm. So that was in 29, mm-hmm. and so you blew it up. And so talk to what was the next chapter? What was the next learning? So you did that. Then what happened?
Yeah. I think, within that journey, one of the biggest lessons I learned while I was out there, happened when I was on a layover. You talk about life, like, just grabbing your attention. I was doing a visa run because mm-hmm. I'd been in Thailand for too long. And so I had to go into another country so I could go back into Thailand. Mm-hmm. And so I was on this 24-hour visa run, and I was on this layover in Laos. And this guy came and asked me, he's like, do you want to get a tea across the street? And I said, sure, why not? Because at that point, conversation is what matters.
Exactly.
And so he was having his tea, and I was having banana pancakes. Mm-hmm. And I asked him what he did. And he is a professional downhill ski racer coach. So he helps people mentally get into the game. Mm-hmm. And I just told him, well, I have kind of something I want to ask you. And he goes, what is it? And I said, well, I've been caught up in my life for my whole life with this what if idea. Like, mm-hmm. what if? I had a backup plan for a backup plan for a backup plan for a backup plan. There's no freedom within backup plans.
Right.
It's like, that's called control.
Yes.
and so in that moment, and this is really like simple knowledge, but it was epiphany for me. He goes, you are never going to know how somebody else is going to respond. You are never going to know what your action is going to create. Mm. And it literally was this earth shattering. I'm literally getting goosebumps being in that moment in time again, mm-hmm. of like, oh, I don't know. And there was such freedom within this unknowing, mm-hmm. that I was like, okay. And so I literally didn't allow myself to ask what if anymore. Mm-hmm. And I started to like peel away the backup plans. And I really began to learn, I didn't know this word at the time, but surrender.
Yeah.
Surrender wasn't introduced into my vocabulary until a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But I started to learn this idea of surrender. And what life did for me was took me on this wild adventure. I met a man. We fell in love. We mm-hmm. had this like epic movie worth of an experience for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And then I returned back to the real world, to Seattle. And that's when I really started getting into like my healing journey, my spiritual journey. It wasn't out there in this nomad sort of space. It was really being in the reality of life, you know, mm-hmm. like we all want something, and I'm a Capricorn. And so like, I want
control, structure. Yes, you do.
I want, you know, like I do that for me, there is a lot of freedom within that. And mm-hmm. so I started to design my life with purpose at that point.
Yeah.
And I lived in a community house, and it was mm-hmm. the first time that I had ever been in a house that truly felt like a home. Mm. It felt safe. It felt like it was filled with love. Like we ate dinner around the dinner table. Like it really felt truly like a community. And so this idea of home, something that I had longed for my entire life, started to come to reality.
Right.
And at that point, I started to do deeper spiritual work, and I went to a retreat called Alterna Vida in Puerto Rico. And there was a shaman there that said, we all did the sound bath, no influence of anything, just our pure minds. We did the sound bath, and before he sent us off on our journey, he walked around and he tapped everybody, and he tapped me right on my third eye, and he said, home. And like, I laid down, and really what happened was a complete out of body experience. So my energy went soaring past the stars, past the universe, past everything. And where I ended up at was this like really beautiful white, just peace. It was peace. And it was something that I'd never felt in my entire life. And it was like literally home, home. That's what home was. You know, like there was no condition to it. And it really just was miraculous. I mean, that's the only word I need to describe it.
I see the tears in your eyes right now. I mean, this is, you're there now. I mean, that's just, wow.
Yeah. And like, it was, I wanted to stay, to be honest. He started to recall people. And I didn't want to come back. Like my energy wanted to stay out there. Like I was in so much peace. And my body actually physically started fighting, you know, like people said that I was sweating, and like my, in my heart, I felt like this earthquake happening. Like in my chest, I just felt like I was like, you know, and eventually like I was in this space, and like I had the message, I'm not finished. Like I'm meant to come back.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. That's why I was wondering that.
And so with deep reluctance, I really did let go. And I returned, and the first time I opened my eyes, like I couldn't focus. There was nothing really there. And then the second time when I opened them again, my very dear friend Katrina was kneeling over me, and the tears were in her eyes, and like she just has the most beautiful smile, and she just has the most beautiful heart, and like to come back to her really was just such this special sacred gift. And there were people singing, and like it was a community recall at that point, because everybody else had been long awake. And so that is really the next segment, because that's when I learned, when I experienced, when I developed this knowing that there's something bigger than me. Like this life isn't about me. It's about me, but it's not even close about me. So that's really kind of the next segment.
Okay. Well, before we, I want to hear about the next segment, but I also want to just park here for just a minute. Because if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, gosh, you know, do I need to go to Nairobi? Do I need to go out into the wilderness for 73 days? Do I need to have a shaman put their finger on my forehead to have this experience? I don't think that that's necessarily true. That's been your experience, right, Leah? But I just want to speak to anybody who's thinking, oh, gosh, that's big and dramatic, and Leah's somehow special, which you are, but more special than anybody else. That no, our journeys, it's whenever we start to feel squinchy and unhappy, then some angels come. Maybe it's this downhill skier at the tea shop, or somebody who points out or asks us a question or says a certain thing. And we're constantly, if we follow those little breadcrumbs, we find ourselves. And some are really big and dramatic, and some are somebody you met in a regular tea shop, you know what I mean? Not in an airport. Would you agree with that? That it doesn't have to 100%. Be that big and dramatic, not to take anything 100%. Away from your story, you know?
No.
So
I would say to that, Sherry, like my most profound moment in life was literally walking in my yard. So it, like, to that point, like it's being willing to want it. It's being willing to allow it, because that's love. That's life. That's this secret sauce that, when we're busy and preoccupied and overburdened with stress, we are not able to access. So, it's a practice.
Yeah.
It's a practice that can happen anytime. Anytime. Anywhere. So 100%.
Yeah. The very first words on your website is, "I want to feel good." And I mean, that's the first line on our website, "I want to feel good." And I thought, well, yeah, that's sort of the whole purpose, right? That we get it backwards or twisted, or we're fed a bill of goods when we think we're supposed to feel productive, or we're supposed to feel responsible, or we're supposed to fill any other word besides good. And that is an agenda from somebody else. Right. But so what would you say, and I want to pick back up on your journey, but what would you say is at the root of that phrase? Why is it you want to feel good?
Yeah. I went through a lot of trauma in my life. I've experienced, and I'll just say, like, this could be a trigger warning for some people.
Sure.
I have experienced multiple sexual abuse from multiple people. I've been raped and molested. I've been physically abused, mentally abused, emotionally abused. I grew up in severe hardship and severe poverty. And in that, nothing feels good.
Right.
Like, I didn't even know what good meant, to be 100% honest.
Yep.
I had a conceptual idea of it. You know, obviously there's lots of freedom and fun and play. I grew up in the woods, you know, life was different.
Yeah. But there was that undercurrent of,
joy, but there was real, imprisonment within myself, because when you go through any of those experiences, whether it's once or on multiple occasions, there's a moment of dissociation. We survive instinctually, you know, we have fight, flight, and freeze. And in the wild, like, if a tiger is attacking you, this, our very last gut instinct is to just drop. Like, and, you know, this little tiny thing that gets picked up by the tiger might get taken away. And then the tiger thinks it's dead. And then it goes off. And then it gets up and it shakes off and it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we experience these traumas, when we experience these hardships, we freeze. And we're not like animals. We don't just get up and shake it off.
Right.
We actually, like, go into our brain and we relive and we blame and we shame and we create our own self-abuse cycle.
Yeah.
And so my journey has been coming home into my body and learning how to shake it off, literally shake off all of these prisons so that I can feel good again.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to be able to feel good, like, because it feels good to feel good. And when you felt not good, or when you haven't felt for so long, there's actually this immense burden and guilt that comes with, like, starting to feel good, because you're moving out of the suffering.
Yeah.
You know? And so it sounds like a really fun skip along the path journey, but it's a true spiritual path. There's a lot. It's a warrior path.
I hear it not as a, you know, skip along. No, I hear that this has been immense work, and that you rose to the occasion. You were, and you played full tilt. I mean, you've gone in. I'm sure that there are moments that you've even questioned, is it worth looking at some of this hard stuff? But on the other side of that, or through that, and then I go back to that visual that, as you were telling your story of you laying there and not wanting to come back, you finally found this home. And after you shared the kind of trauma you've been through, no wonder you wanted to stay there, right? What a delicious, wonderful place. Let me get a sip of water. What a delicious, wonderful place you were at last, right? But then you said it. I was thinking it, and then you said it. But I needed to come back, and I had some stuff to do with this awareness, right? And so does that lead you into this next chapter of your, again, living on purpose around your work? You want to pick it up there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So picking up from there, I came back, and it's like, okay, I need to figure out how to, like, get this out there. And I, you know, in the structure of society, I started thinking about, like, oh, I need to get this certification, or I need to get this training, or I need to do this and this. So that's when I learned how to do Reiki and just work with the invisible energy, and more than anything, that's intention. And then I became a craniosacral practitioner, and really learn to put hands on the body, gentle, safe touch. Mm-hmm. And that really is like somatic work, mm-hmm. Where we can viscerally release tightness within our body. Because anytime we go through something, our body physically responds. Our body keeps score, which is a great book. Okay. And so when we work with our body, when we do gentle hands-on, when we provide a safe touch, it allows for buried memories to surface and to be healed. And so this is when I started going down, like, where I felt like I was a healer. Mm-hmm. And I was a healer because I was healing. Mm-hmm. And we're all healers. If we're on a healing path, we are all healers. And I think that's really something I felt like I needed to claim, that as an identity of being mm-hmm. a healer. And really there's this freedom, because no matter where we are on a path, we're always just a little bit ahead of somebody else, somebody out there. Somebody's going to hear your word and they're going to be inspired, and they're going to want to reach a little bit further. So, so often I feel like people feel like, oh, I don't really have a purpose, but really, like, being our story, being our mm-hmm. self is our purpose.
Amen, sister.
And that it does inspire others. And mm-hmm. so I started going down this path, and then I was like, okay, I should write a book. And mm-hmm. then that's where the book came in. Mm-hmm. And the becoming an author was a really interesting path for me, because I'd gone to the best year ever blueprint year after year. And every time they're there, they're like, you can write a book in 5 minutes. No problem. Yeah. It's like 90 days, but still,
right. It feels like,
I'm going to write a book in 90 days, mm-hmm. And then, like, I started writing this book. And at that point in time, I had a really good friend. He was a father figure. He was a mentor. He was a colleague. He was a dinner host, party person. Mm-hmm. Like, him and his wife were really important to me. And he got diagnosed with terminal cancer. Mm-hmm. And I went through this rapid, like, I got to get this book. I want him to know what it is. I want him to experience it before he goes. And so I wrote it in this 90-day plan. And by the time I had finished it, even at that point, he was already too far gone. Mm-hmm. And so his mind wasn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And so he never actually read my words, but he was with me the entire time.
I was
going to
say, but I bet he knew the words though, right? He was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's still with me to this very day. Mm-hmm. And so he's the next true key in my path. Because as he was passing, I really saw that he had worry. You know, he was worried as he was passing, worried, did he do enough for his family? Worried, did he do enough? Did he do enough? You know, and mm-hmm. also he had this ferocious vitality for just, like, enjoying life. He was just so rich in pleasure and just joy and, like, conversation. Like, he was the embodiment of life, living in this human flesh.
Yeah.
And so really watching him in his passing was this next truth space in my life. Like, when I was 29, again, looking around, like, what the heck am I doing? Mm-hmm. I'm working multiple jobs. I'm getting up at 5 a.m., like, going to my day job, coming home, working, going back out to work at the bar, coming home at like 2 a.m. and, like, repeat. Like, it was so unsustainable. And we were in, my partner and I, we were in the basement. We called it the dungeon at that point. It was his art room. And I looked at him and I said, you know, if you said you wanted to move back to Montana, I would say I want to go. And we had this rental property out here. And he looked at me and he said, I want to move back to Montana. So Jim passed on the 27th, I believe. And then I said that to Nick on the first. Mm-hmm. And then I went into my corporate job at that point and said, I'm moving to Montana. And on May 1st, we pulled into our driveway.
Wow.
So all of that happened in 2 months. Wow. And really coming here is truly where I broke open. Like, this is where I was, like, this woman here right now, this is where she was born. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'll pause here and see if you want me to keep going.
As I'm listening to your story, you guys, it's so funny. I'm kind of even forgetting that we're recording this because I'm just sitting here listening to my friend tell this story. And I'm just like being blown away because I didn't know a lot of this. I didn't know this, Leah. So this is like the first time and I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. One of the things I'm realizing is that, and I'm, whether you knew this or not, but this is something I'm hearing, you were awakened and now you're staying awake. And so you're staying awake and you're listening. And then now, you know, Jim being here, you seem to be open to all as your path evolves to constantly being open and then looking at noticing what, oh, I'm back in this place again. Oh, I got back into this pushing or, you know, living in, you know, this too regimented or whatever, you know. So there's this constant readjusting as you go, oh, fell back into that trap again or whatever, right? And so that's another thing I want our listeners to get, that when you're designing, if we can get back on that hamster wheel and we have to remember what we've already learned, right? To come back into our body again. And so Jim was one of those reminders along your beautiful path to remember for you. Beautiful. Yes. Okay, so now keep going.
Yeah, I do want to really just accent what you just said, because there is no such thing as being awake.
Yeah, you were okay, good, yes.
Like, yeah. If you're awake and like fully liberated, awesome, like good on you. But really, it is the cycle, you know, we go through it. And that's the beauty. I think that's the beauty of life, is like really recognizing how quickly we can come back in.
Yeah.
You know, we live on this beautiful spiral of like, life and death. It happens over and over and over again. And so I love that you brought that forward. And I just really
I keep thinking of it like taking a bath. It's like you don't just take one bath and you're clean. I mean, you know, you bathe often. Yeah. And so you kind of have to reemerge, ask questions. And so what that means is when you notice that maybe you're back in an old pattern, it's not a place for judgment or being critical. That's the way it works. You're right on track, right? For the next thing. So, so tell me about the next thing.
Yeah. So I pull into May 1st, we pull into this beautiful home, and it's, so just to give reference, so it is 7 miles up a winding road that's supposed to be two lanes, but mostly it's one and a half. Mm-hmm. And on one side, there's like a mountain range. And on the other side, there's this beautiful river called Rock Creek.
I've seen the pictures, you guys. It's beautiful. Yeah,
it's really, really beautiful. And so just to give a full circle of my soul's journey, 1 mile down the road from where I live is where I was conceived. Mm. So my father's side of the family, which I'm estranged from, but my father's side of the family was like one of the original families up here. Mm-hmm. And so my mom and my dad met. I won't go into that story, but it's an interesting one in itself. She was up here for a week, and bada bing, bada boom, I was born.
Here comes Leah. Right.
Leah, I was conceived, but she lived in Kansas at the time, and so I wasn't part of this Rock Creek experience very much, and so my soul brought me back here because this is where I was meant to be born. This is where I was meant to grow, and so May 1st, 5 years ago, pulled in here, and really, there's silence, there's nature, there's birds singing, there's blue skies, sometimes there's rain, and there's the river. And there's not much else. When I went from living in chaos of downtown Seattle, like living this like 23-hour life, sleeping few hours, and coming out here, there was nowhere to hide from myself. There was nowhere to hide from my stories. There was nowhere to hide. There was just nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. And everything from all of the 35 years of life started to bubble, and come forward to be released, to be healed, to be witnessed, to be forgiven, and to be loved. And that's where I went through a lot. It was actually truly hell.
I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It was the most trying.
Yeah, it was the most trying period of my life because I had realized one of my protection life mechanisms was avoidance, you know, mm-hmm. and like occupying my brain so I didn't have to deal with yep. anything, and there was nothing to occupy myself with right. here. So I learned to be present within stillness mm-hmm. and pausing. And we as a culture last year and still some other places are going through this great pause. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, that's hard. It's mm-hmm. really, really hard mm-hmm. to be paused within your own being and no distractions. And there was this point where I went through this journey that I kind of started to feel like, oh, okay, life is okay. And the most beautiful part about going through this pause and going through this resurfacing of everything is, you know, I always thought I was broken. Mm-hmm. I really did. I always thought I was broken. I needed to fix myself. And what I've learned is I'm not broken. I'm whole. And I love this idea of, it's called kintsugi. I'm saying that wrong, but it's Japanese pottery where they put gold mm-hmm. in these vases that break. And mm-hmm. so I learned about that and I started thinking about, you know, I am a whole being that maybe has had some cracks, and really bringing in this like gold and mm-hmm. into myself, into my being, and unifying my soul with my human, with mm-hmm. my physical body. And that is when I was walking around one day, and it was just such a beautiful day. The birds were chirping. The swallows were flying. Like, it was just a really nice summer day. My dogs were playing in the yard. And, like, I just looked around, and there I was overwhelmed. I literally fell to my knees and, like, tears streaming down. And it was, like, the very, very first time that I ever truly felt love. And I say that in the sense that it reminded me of that time in Puerto Rico when I went home. Mm-hmm. It was like that experience, but with my eyes open. And conceptually, I'd always understood love, you know, mm-hmm. like, I love you, I get that. But to actually feel that vibration, to actually feel that energy move through me, mm-hmm. that's when I became the channel. And honestly, yeah. that's when the love light started to be born. Mm-hmm. As much as it feels a little bit hippie, that is when the love light started to be born. Because, like, I was like, okay, all right, this is my mission. This is my purpose. This is my path. Mm-hmm. And that's an example of a simple moment in time, like nothing magical happening. I was literally just walking mm-hmm. in my arm and yard, and gratitude
yeah.
overwhelmed me enough yeah. to allow myself to be brave enough to experience the mm-hmm. true vibrancy of love.
Yeah. So. And when you say nothing magical, I mean, nothing extraordinary. You weren't, you know, you weren't tightroping yes. walking, you know, but it is to me, a sense, something that you have to allow to come. I mean, mm-hmm. see if you agree with me here. You have to allow that to come in, and you've been shedding some layers. You had been opening up, asking yourself the questions, trusting your nudges and your nigglings to get you back into that area, you know? And so that's one of the things that I've knew about you before I knew this story was that is what it means to live on purpose, is that you're like, you're constantly saying, is this where I want to be? What's next? Which is what I have written on my palm of my hand. What's next? What's next? You know, of where, and listening to that. And then when you do, the next answer is revealed. And then the next answer is revealed. And then you had this magical experience, which I have to say, is it okay to be jealous of someone's spiritual? I was like, I want what she's having. That sounded delicious. But is that where, so Love Light is the name you've chosen, right?
Yes. It's yeah. A claimed name.
Yeah. And so I want to make sure we have an opportunity now to take the next little bit and talk about how you've taken this beautiful journey. And I want to again underscore that it has been hell in many ways for you. I mean, you've shared with us the highlights and kind of, you know, the highlight reel, but there's been, I guess, dark nights of the soul. There's been looking at some trauma. It's probably been some snotty tears and hard stuff, right? Yeah. You know, yes. The snorting and the snotty tears. And so we, you know, it's funny when you can tell your story in 20 minutes, it makes it sound like a, you know, Hallmark movie. But my guess is this was really hard work and incredibly rewarding. And now you're here in a place and where you're in service with others or healing and creating experience with others. I want you to take a minute and tell us about that, specifically around reveal. I want to make sure you talk about that and anything else that you want to talk about in your work as the channel of love.
Yes. So reveal is a really beautiful co-creation with a photographer. Her name is Jenna Nord. Mm-hmm. And it was birthed because Jenna one day had said, hey, would you want to be a model? I kind of want to do these photo shoots called Sensual Skin. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm a yes person. okay. So I said yes. And in my mind, I was like thinking, what the heck? Like Sensual Skin? Like that is so not me. Like I'd like... And honestly, I'll loop into this, but like, I was like, this is like the craziest thing I'm ever going to do. And so I went into this photo shoot with Jenna and she was such a beautiful guide, mm-hmm. you know, and just really helped me unravel a little bit more and reveal a little bit more deeply. And so I did that on a new moon and it was a new moon later that, so that's 28 days, mm-hmm. That she texted me this like snapshot of like one of the pictures, and when I looked at it I was like, who is that? And then I looked at it and I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, that's me.
Yeah.
And that was eye-opening. And then I got all of the photos and that was transformational.
Say more.
Because up till that point, because I had lived with so much body trauma, mm-hmm. I've always tried to shy away. You know, I'm very observant, mm-hmm. but I don't necessarily need to put myself in the middle. You know, I've always tried to hide away. I've always tried to hide myself because when we are forward, we're more attractive and
right. Attention. People are seeing us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. For most of my life that brought harm to me. Mm-hmm. And so I had created this narrative to where like I wasn't a pretty woman. Like I didn't value my body really. I'd done a lot of healing, but I hadn't like really started to truly value it for the miraculous creation that all of our bodies are. Mm-hmm. And when I got these photos, I was like, oh, I'm beautiful. Mm. And as a woman who I know most people would look at me and say, yeah, you're an attractive woman.
Yeah.
You're pretty.
Yeah.
I've never liked looking in the mirror. Yeah. I've never liked seeing myself. I've never liked me. Mm-hmm. And so when I got these photos and I saw this new lens, this belief just started to crumble. Yeah. And I called Jenna. I was like, there's something really big here. I think more women need to experience this. And she shared, you know, it's a lot of work to hold women to go through this. And I was like, this is my passion. Like, that's what I'm here for. Like, I am here to hold these big transformations. I'm here to be the mirror for somebody else to witness themselves. Like, that is what I'm here for. And so she and I started talking about like, how do we co-create this? Mm-hmm. And so we designed Reveal retreats. So that is where we bring women together as a collective, an intimate group, and I'll hold and facilitate the reflection. She holds and facilitates the photography. Mm-hmm. And then we together hold the reveal, you know? And so it's this really an opportunity for women to come learn and accept to be at home in their body, mm-hmm. and to see themselves as they've never seen themselves before, so that they can actually walk a new path in life, because we are all beautiful women. Mm-hmm. We're all beautiful women. Wow. And there's so much that each one of us can offer. So that's really Reveal.
I hope you will share some pictures with me so I can put them in the show notes. I have had the opportunity to see some of these pictures, and they are sensual. They are powerful. I mean, I can, you know, I've seen those of you, ones of you, and of course you're gorgeous, but I also see the power in them, and I just, you know, can hear how transformational that is. And I would say it's almost a universal wound that women have, maybe men as well, around our bodies. I know that right now the last thing I would want to do is have my photograph made in the some of the ways I've seen, because it's too scary. Yet, you know, when it's scary, you also know the power that it holds, so much power, right? It's the power to transform. So if you're being pinged as you listen to this, this is just take note if it's really landing, because I have absolutely no doubt it changes people forever. So you do these retreats, and are there ways for people to just, let's do a little bit of housekeeping here. Is there ways for folks to engage with you and your work if they don't have a way to come with you in person? How can folks work with you or connect with you or benefit from your, you know, make sure we know the title of your book, but also tell us a little bit more about how to work with you.
Yeah. So I am open to doing one-on-one work.
Beautiful.
I have a very unconventional, I mean, everybody does a discovery call, in that sense. And in true reality, like, I'm not looking for repeat clients. I'm looking for somebody to come and be whole. And so there's structure, but there's no true structure to it, because this is your journey. This is you coming into whatever it is that you want to receive. Yep. So the best way would be to take a look at my website, leahlovelight.com. Mm-hmm. And if it resonates with you, you can reach out to me.
Beautiful.
Via that way. I answer my emails and I look at those things. And then we can jump on a call and see if it really works. I do, if I'm working one-on-one, I do everything over the phone, not on Zoom, because that allows the person to truly have their experience within their own experience. So that's a different sort of feel to it. You know, working with me is really about finding that stillness. Mm-hmm. And so reaching out, if you're interested, definitely. And then you can check me out on social media.
Sure.
Facebook's not the best, but I'm more active on Instagram.
Okay. So you're an Instagram person. Okay, good. You know, sometimes we have to circle around folks and watch what they're doing, you know, I'm going to say this, I know, with every guest that's on this podcast, but it's really true. If you're being pinged, if you're getting little nudges and nigglings that you need to know Leah better, please trust that, you know, whether you get her book, the name of the book, and I just moved the computer screen. Tell me the name of your book.
Yep. Modern Fear.
Modern
Fear.
The
Invisible Prison.
The Invisible Prison. Yep. And Amazon is one place.
Amazon.
Okay. Fantastic. Yep. Fantastic. Yeah. So, I feel this is such a great story. I have a few other questions I just want to ask you as we kind of get ready to land the plane. Is that okay? And some of these you may have already answered, but I just want to give you an opportunity to kind of give your short answer, repeat it again. So Leah, how do you know when you're really in the flow? What are some signs that you're really in the flow and living on purpose? What are you?
So I think when I'm really in the flow, I don't notice life. I think that's the thing. It's like, I'm so in flow that I don't have to notice. I know that I'm not in flow when I'm like thinking too much about one thing, you know.
Gotcha.
So I think I'm in the flow when I'm not necessarily actively noticing. I'm just I'm being.
You're being. That's a beautiful distinction. Yeah. So when you're really overly hyper focused on tangible, concrete things of life, is a sign that you may not be right in the flow of I am in Leah. Okay, good. That's a great.
Yep.
So what do you do to get unstuck when you realize that's happened? Like, say you're out of flow, what's your quickest way back into flow?
So my quickest way back into flow is first the process of learning how to recognize out
right
of flow.
Absolutely.
So I know that I'm not in flow. I know that I'm avoiding, which if I'm avoiding, it means I'm not in flow. If I'm not journaling, if I'm not taking care of myself, if I'm making excuses. Those are my three like recognizing things. And so then it's like, all right, I allow myself to have a little mini pity party when I recognize that I'm not in the flow. Like to really say like, oh, actually, I'm kind of low right now. And I let that happen. And then I say, all right, let's come out. So, and then I reestablish my practices of journaling, of meditation, of making sure that I'm in nature every day. Like beautiful. That for me to absorb that is the most important thing. Connection into nature is the quickest way for me to get back. The quickest way. Because it reminds me that I'm part of something bigger than me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you talked about, you know, when you're having those feelings, this is something I've been learning from my coach is you face it. Then you really authentically feel it, then you can free it, right? You have to authentically feel the self-pity or the frustration instead of bypassing that, you know, and naming it is the start. Yes. But if you don't feel it, it doesn't really go away, right? So you feel the self-pity, you feel 100%. The, yeah, then you do it. Okay, yeah. So getting outside in nature, that's part of your routine. I think you answered the next question, which is what part of your routine, but journaling, meditation, nature, anything else that is part of your keeping Leah sane and safe and beautiful list? What is it?
Yeah. I have like my morning practice where I do celery juice with wheatgrass every day. That's something that makes me feel like I'm doing something really good for my body.
Yeah.
So doing something that I know feels really good for my body. I also eat most of my vegetables in the morning, whereas most people try to eat their vegetables and salads and stuff. But I eat most of my vegetables in the morning so I can check that off the list. And I always feel really
good.
Yeah. That's when I know that I'm doing a really good job. Gotcha. Is when I get my vegetables in, because I actually don't like vegetables.
You don't like vegetables. Well, you know, I have to tell you, I was with some other folks with Exchange and they were all talking about celery juice. I'm like, I'm going to do celery juice. And I ordered the $200 juicer and it came and it sat in the garage. And I'm like, if I open this box, I don't have faith that I'm actually going to do it. And I've just spent $200 for an appliance I won't use. So I just have to confess to you, I sent it back. Doesn't mean I'll never go back to it. But I realized it's like, I got so gung-ho, you know, it's like, okay, but I hear it, the folks who do it, it is a beautiful, wonderful self-care thing. Yeah. And I'm not there yet. Yeah. So you might
I'm
have to
help
me.
A couple years into it. So
good for you.
I bought my juicer the exact same time that my friend bought her juicer. Uh-huh. She has never used it.
Okay.
So
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I use it every day.
Okay, good. Yeah. So there we are. We're all over the spectrum on the celery juice thing. Yeah. So if you had to put your motto or your mantra on a bumper sticker, what would it be? Mm-hmm. What would it be?
Yeah. On my arm, I have never try, never know.
Never try, never know.
That's what it is. Yeah.
That is awesome.
That's what enables me to say yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what forces me to say yes sometimes when I want to say no.
Yeah. So. Well, and you know what's so funny? What is it? Never try, never know. And then I wrote never down, know. Is it KNOW? Instead of, but it could also be never know, right? Yeah. Since you're a yes person. That's
yeah, actually, yeah, that's totally.
I know. I was like, wait a minute. Did she mean it no or no? Okay.
Yes.
And Leah, what is something that I haven't asked you yet that you would like to share? Is there anything that feels that you want to share it or you need to say or put another point on it?
You know, I guess just for the listeners, like when you think about designing your life on purpose and just following Sherry's inspiration in life, like it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, we as humans with our mind have the ability to choose. Mm-hmm. And whatever we're living in life, when you look around and you see your reality outside of you, that's our choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't like what you're experiencing, it's time to make a new decision.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah. And my coach said to me yesterday that what you're experiencing in the present is your decision from the past. I mean, it could have been the past for like an hour ago, but it, you know, and so that, mm-hmm. that it is not a reflection on what you can choose in the moment. And I think you just reduced down what living on purpose is about, is to remember we get to choose. And and the first tenet for me when I'm working with my clients is life begins when we take 100% responsibility for everything in our life. And that means we have 100% of the power, right? And so that's what, yeah. And when you do that, geez, Louise's, you get to have it. You get to have whatever it is. Okay, so last question. Milk chocolate or dark chocolate?
Dark.
Dark. Okay. Okay.
Good. Dark. All the way.
All the way, man. Okay. I don't know why I threw that one in, but that's just fun to know. That's just fun to know. So Leah, oh my gosh, I've been writing down so many notes. I can't even decide when I'm going to like write what are the highlights of this particular podcast as I start to do it. There've been so many highlights. I want to tell you how much you've touched me personally to hear some details of your story that I didn't know. And I don't know if folks are just be listening or they might actually see the video if I get that far, who knows, but you just have to understand that Leah, if you get to see her, you embody this experience. And I'm so glad that you have said yes to stepping in to what you're here to do. And that phrase, and I took it down off my screen, but you're here essentially to help the world. Amen. That's what you're doing. Yeah. I'm just so honored to have you in my world. And love you so much. Thank you so much for being on this.
Love you. Yeah, thank you for asking and giving me the opportunity. Yeah. Thank you. And that reflection and witness, I just feel the same.
It's so good. It's so good. Thank you, Leah. Thank you so much for listening to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast, and I sure hope that you're taking away something that you can begin to use today. Speaking of things you can use, I have lots of free things over at sherryhoneycutt.com, and the one I want to highlight at today's podcast is something I call Work Your Butt Off, and I spell it B-U-T. Let's get those butts worked off, and it is a 30-day program to help you get your butts off the couch. It's 30 videos, it's a 75-page workbook, I think, and it's free to help you begin to take deliberate action toward getting that thing or those things done. So that's what I've got for you. I would love to invite you over to sherryhoneycutt.com. Click under cool stuff and you'll find that. You'll also find the link in the show notes and in the description of this podcast. Y'all, I'm here to help you take action because action is how we begin to get new thoughts around our life. So go check it out. Get your free copy of this course that I've designed and go and design your best life. Until next time.